So this program we're having tonight is known as Vyasa Puja.
Do you want to give the talk first and then you do Arti and Vyasa Puja?
I'm beginning now.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to start?
I'm beginning the talk.
Oh, the books. Sorry. Thank you.
So this Vyasa Puja, what is that about? Vyasa Dev. Vyas means Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is known as the literary incarnation of God, or the literary incarnation of Krishna. And most of the important scriptures that we use, that we study and teach, were compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. The Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are the principal scriptures, and in addition to that is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all of them are based on the teachings and the philosophy of Sri Vyasadeva. He was existing during the time of Krishna 5,000 years ago. And Krishna appeared on this earth. And through Vyasadeva and his disciples, the teachings of Krishna, as he presented them himself during his stay here on the earth, have been passed down in what is known as the disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam imang rajarsha yogadu sa kaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. So he's speaking to Arjuna, his disciple. Arjuna accepts Krishna as his spiritual master, and at that point, Krishna begins speaking to Arjuna as his disciple. And that conversation is the basis of this Bhagavad Gita. So evam parampara. Parampara means the disciplic succession. So the origin of religion is with Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse explaining that. The verse begins, Dharman tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma means occupation. Dharma is occupation. And rather, so although religion is a common reference to Dharma, Dharma is often interpreted as religion. But it's not exactly religion, because religion is not one's eternal occupation. One can, and we often see that people change their religion, their affiliation from one religion to another. A Christian can become a Jew, or a Jew a Christian, a Muslim, whatever. So religion is a temporary designation of one's beliefs at some point in time. But that's not really connected directly with the soul or spiritual life. Dharma is one's eternal occupation. So where religion is temporary occupation, dharma is eternal occupation. It may also refer to temporary, like someone may be a businessman. That may be his temporary occupation. That may be called dharma. But eternal occupation is, for that, there's another word added to dharma, and that is sanatana. So sanatana dharma, sanatan means eternal. So what is someone's eternal occupation? Vyasadeva describes that, and this is the purpose of the scriptures that he has compiled and delivered to us. And the eternal occupation for every human being is Sanatana Dharma, which means we're eternally the servant of Krishna. Now, Krishna manifests in many different ways. He has many incarnations, expansions, and so forth. Because he's unlimited, he also has unlimited expansions. Well, some people know God in a very vague way, and they use the term God to refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as they know him. Some say Jehovah, or some say some other thing. In the Vedas, Krishna's principal expansions are known as with names like Vishnu. Have you heard that? Vishnu? Heard that? No? Oh, okay. It's pretty well known. Vishnu, Krishna, Vishnu, Hari, Rama. Rama refers to Ramachandra. There are 10 principal incarnations. Nityananda is another expansion of Krishna. So anyway, there are many. They're unlimited, excuse me. Because Krishna is unlimited, so his expansions are also unlimited. And one of his expansions is Sri Vyasadeva. And because he has compiled a vast number of scriptures, he's known as the literary incarnation of God. So, evang parampara praptam, the disciplic succession, we consider our current disciplic succession as being coming in the line of Srila Vyasadeva. And Vyasa Puja is a, puja means worship. So Vyasa Puja means the worship of Sri Vyasadeva. My disciplic succession, this disciplic succession that I'm in, has come from Vyasadeva to various incarnations and devotees, Vaishnavas. So without the list is very long because Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and the lifespan of these devotees is on this earth is generally 100 years or less. So there are many between the time of Krishna and today. The most recent ones that we are concerned with are Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he appeared in India in the city of Jagannath Puri. Have you ever heard of that? Jagannath Puri? No. So he appeared in Jagannath Puri, and he had many disciples. He preached in India and beyond through his disciples and through his literatures that he produced. He created 64 mats and temples. This is a mat. Mat means a residence of brahmacharis. So those brahmachari means celibate students. So he created established many temples in India, 64 temples and mats and missions. His mission was known as Sri Gaudiya Mission. And Gaudiya comes from the word Gaura, and it refers to a part of India. Gaudiya refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Mission. So He had many disciples, and he had some of those disciples actually quite a few of them, began preaching accepting their own after his disappearance. They continued his mission through their preaching and accepting of disciples, and their disciples, many of them began preaching also, or they continued his preaching, and they also established temples and missions around the world. My Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he's my initiating guru. He became the most famous, the most well-known of all of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, because he established missions not only in India, but all over the world. His first attempt was in New York City. So he began there in the early 60s. And attracted many young people, hippies of the time. And they, in turn, began to expand his mission to Boston and Toronto, Canada, to San Francisco, to Los Angeles. And in addition to, I think that's Sean now. So in addition to those, he also asked his disciples to go to England and Europe and open temples there and spread Krishna consciousness in Europe. And they did that, and he sent them all over the world, to Japan and to, I believe, to Bangkok and even to China, to Russia, and his mission grew in that way from one place to another. And he passed away in 1977. Hi, come in.
Happy birthday.
Oh, wow, thank you. Yeah. You didn't have to do that. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gloria. Oh, wow. Wow.
Got the award. Whichever way you're comfortable.
Sean knows the heart of a construction worker. Gave me a headlamp.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, you gave me a headlamp. Oh, my. That's decent.
So, I was just speaking a little bit about something known as our parampara. Parampara means, in short, disciplic succession. So, Krishna is the origin of the disciplic succession, and he established many personalities through his expansions and through his teachings. Many persons began to preach about Krishna, speak about Krishna. Like Bhagavad Gita here is very, probably, I guess, his most famous talk. When Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he was speaking to his disciple Arjuna. And that conversation just prior to the Battle of Kurukshetra is the origin of this Bhagavad Gita. 700 verses. And through those 700 verses, we learn the truth of life, that we are not these bodies, that we are spirit souls. Perhaps the most important thing is a couple of important things. First, we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls. And then, what we were just speaking about before you came in was Sanatan Dharma. What is the eternal occupation of us as spirit souls? How do we relate with Krishna? What is our position, relationship to God? So that's discussed here. And in the conclusion, Krishna says, sarva-dharman, so there's that word dharma again, the eternal occupation. So in sarva means, what is everyone's dharma? What is everyone's eternal occupation? Sarva-dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masuchaha. Krishna said that the eternal occupation of every living entity is to surrender to me, to serve me. So he has informed us, he is the seed-giving father. We discussed this the other day. Krishna is the seed-giving father of every living entity. And another place he says, and I am the dearmost friend of everyone. So he's not only father, but he's also friend. And what makes the relationship with him outstanding, and what he's trying to put across in his direction to Arjuna, we're not these bodies, but we're not creatures of this material world. We have an eternal existence, and if we can only give ourselves over to surrender to Krishna, then we will become established in that eternal spiritual relationship with him. So that's in very, very brief language. That's the gist of the Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, I was trying to explain a little bit about our parampara. This is my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And he established Krishna consciousness. He established 108 temples all over the world. So Mexico, Canada, United States, Italy, every continent and most of the major cities of the world, in Japan, in Bangkok, Thailand, in Russia, in Ukraine, in England, Germany, France, Italy, any place you can think of, he's established a temple there, and with thousands of disciples who, under his direction, established these temples. So, Srila Prabhupada passed away in 1977, and before his passing, he instructed his disciples, of which I'm one, to continue their spiritual education under the direction of my Shiksha Guru and Sannyas Guru, the Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, the large picture up here. That's Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And in a similar manner, Srila Sridhar Maharaj instructed us after his disappearance that we should take shelter of Srila Govinda Maharaj, who you see his photo here on his seat. So, from one to another to another, and before them the same thing, from one disciple to another, from Krishna to his disciple, from those disciples to another disciple, from that disciple to another, and on and on. Well, that's called parampara, or disciplic succession. And this program we're having today is in the line of this disciplic succession. It is called Vyasa Puja because as they, each their guru and they established their mission and disciples to carry on the mission after them, the preaching mission and the teachings after them. So Srila Govinda Maharaj named me as his successor. So that's why I'm sitting here, because under his direction, as I did in his lifetime, during his lifetime, I initiated many disciples, but not as my disciples, as his disciples. And that's called Ritvik Guru. So he's a guru, and through his potency, he can name others to initiate disciples on his behalf. And same with my other gurus. They did the same thing. So, generally, the previous acharya appoints his successor, and actually, Govinda Maharaj appointed six, he named six successors. I'm one, so there are others. And he asked that I preach here in this area, in New York, and New Jersey, and in Detroit, Michigan, especially. But this also implies, I'll go back a step. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse that says, Acharyam Mang Vijaniyam. So what is an acharya? What is a guru? One time Darren asked me, are you a guru? And you remember my reply?
No.
I said, you'll have to answer that. So, a guru can appoint his successor guru. But who is a guru? That has to be decided by a disciple. It's not the guru's position to promote himself in that way. So we require a guru. So tadvahi in the Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, tadvahi pranipatena pariparshanena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanam. The whole basis for spiritual life, for making advancement in spiritual life, begins with acceptance of a guru. Without a guru, then Srila Sridharmar said, the progress is haphazard. It's like trying to learn how to construct a building or something. Without a guru, it's haphazard. So Sean is quite aware of how haphazard I am in this. I'm trying to do one thing one way, it doesn't work, try a different way, maybe that works, maybe it doesn't, so on and so forth. His father is an expert, and once we came into some real difficulty, we called him, and he, do this. Then it became very clear, very easy. Just do this. And he's talking about fly rafters. You know what that is? Fly rafter? I didn't either until we heard it from him. So, to make progress in anything in a scientific way or a systematic way requires instruction from a master craftsman or a master in spiritual life. So, spiritual master or master of sort of art, something like that, craftsman. Teacher is also a sort of master. So, evam parampara, so tadvidhi pranipatena. If we want to make progress in spiritual life, then the first step is to seek out a spiritual master who is realized in knowledge of the subject. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Tatvadarshana means, tatva means truth and darshan means to see or who has seen. So tatvadarshana means approach someone who has seen the truth, who has realized in the truth. And what type of truth? The absolute truth. So that's the beginning of spiritual life, and it's the duty of the disciples of a guru to also try to spread these teachings to others. So my gurus are always encouraging me, sometimes almost forcing me to do that, to try to distribute this their knowledge to others. And so In this way, the disciplic succession is passed from guru to disciple, guru to disciple, guru to disciple. That's the process. So, in a long-winded way, Vyasa Puja, what we're doing today, is worshiping the guru who is considered to be a representative of Krishna. And as Krishna says, acharyam mam vijaniyam, know the acharya to be myself, know the acharya to be non-different from me. Because why? The acharya is a jiva. We are all jiva souls, individual souls. So individual soul is not God, but the acharya, Krishna, when he says, know the acharya to be myself, to be non-different from me, what he means is because he is representing me, then see him as non-different from me. Because he is presenting my teachings, he is guiding you in your spiritual life like that. He's a qualified person who understands the essence of Krishna consciousness, the essence of Krishna. So therefore, such a qualified person, that's the type of person one should look for and accept as a spiritual master. So Vyasa Puja is worship of the spiritual master, but it's called Vyasa Puja because Vyasa is the original spiritual master, and then from his disciples to their disciples to their disciples and so forth, then chain follows in that way. And now as instructed by my guru, I'm accepting that responsibility. I've accepted that responsibility years ago, actually, but anyway. So we're having this function today, and now I'll try to explain it. I think it's very not an easy thing to appreciate. Not an easy thing to appreciate. That, my grand guru, we refer to grand guru as Param Guru. So one of my grand gurus, he gave a very nice speech on the time of his Vyasa Puja. He was being worshipped by his disciples, and he's sitting in a on a Vyasasan. Vyasasan means the seat of Vyasadeva. So now this is a Vyasasan. I'm not Vyasadeva, but I'm sitting in his seat and representing him. So that's why I'm given this seat. So he was his name Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's the guru of Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He's directly their guru. He's the Param Guru of Srila Govinda Maharaj and myself, the grand guru of us. So he was on an occasion just as, like this one, he was speaking about the position of the guru, as I've been doing. And a very nice section of that, he's saying that how awkward this position is. He's saying, in India, generally everyone is sitting on the floor, unless they're unable. So most people are sitting on the floor, and the guru is sitting in a Vyasasan, like this or like this. And he's mentioning that, what an awkward state this is. All of you, you're all sitting in a lower seat, and I'm sitting in this big seat. He said, like a beast in the zoo. Now, and you're all spectators looking at me. Oh, what a brute! This man is accepting the plaudits, the worship and praise from so many others. Because one of the things that transpires during this type of ceremony generally is the disciples are giving some words of praise about their guru. So Saraswati Thakur is saying, just look at the fun. I'm sitting here. What kind of display is this? No normal man would do such a thing. And the guru, what is the position of guru? Not only is he great, considered great, respected as great, but he's also expected to present himself as humble. So how does a humble person sit in such a way and listening to the praise of others? And how do these two things fit together? Listening, and he says, Saraswati Thakur says, smiling, enjoying the praise being put upon him. So he's apparently enjoying this praise. He's smiling. He's enjoying it, and yet the instruction of our gurus is that one should always be very humble. One should remain always humble. So how do you put these two things together? There's only one way to do that, and that is that it's being done at the instruction of his guru. So he explains that point. We wouldn't do this if we were not instructed to do it by our guru. And the guru's instruction, that cannot be disobeyed. That should not be disobeyed. So, well, one of my duties that I did for many years was book distribution. And it was it was a very foreign thing to me to go. I'm not very gregarious or outgoing. I think my personality is more or less like an introvert, not an extrovert. But to do book distribution meant we have to go out in public, stop people on the street or in the airport or a parking lot or someplace, and say, "Oh, excuse me, sir, here, we'd like you to read this. We'd like you to have this book," right? Something like that. And try to persuade them. It's a sale. Oh, Gloria was doing something like this, right? Weren't you? Meeting strangers and trying to get some leads or something? Yeah, so it was something like that. Only we're distributing these books on our guru's book. Srila Prabhupada is the author, not the original author, but this is translated from Sanskrit, and he provided the translation and purports, explanations, and so forth. So he told us, go and distribute these books. And that also may seem a little audacious. He wrote the book, and he's telling us, oh, this is the highest truth. Go and distribute it to others. Okay? But why? So that they can learn the highest truth. So it's his book, and he's telling us it's the highest truth. But that also on the order of his guru. Guru told him, print books and distribute them. So he was told to do that, and he told us, now you go and do that same thing. So we did that. It was not easy. But anyway, there's another verse from the Vedic scriptures. How does it go? Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langhayate grim yat kripa tangaham vande shri gurun dinatarnam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one can cross mountains. The lame can cross mountains. The dumb can speak beautiful verse, and several things like that are mentioned. So I have to say that it's believable to me, because I had no qualification to do this But I became one of the biggest book distributors. I distributed more books than anyone else at various times. It was not my proclivity, but I did it by the grace of my spiritual master. So, anyway, so we can do it. So the gist of that is we can do anything by the instruction of the spiritual master, and we can do nothing without his instruction. If he is not, if we disobey the spiritual master, that's considered to be a very serious offense and very inauspicious result is likely to come about. So even though this is not I'm mentioning this because in a few minutes, at some time, I think Leo Sundri is going to perform some worship in my direction. And I want to explain how it is that I can sit here and accept that. I do so because my spiritual master has told me, Giri Maharaj, you must do this. All right. So I think I've gone far enough. Any questions? Before your question, Sean, I told Darren that we're recording this and it may be posted on our website. So if you don't want your voice heard, then hold your silence. But if you don't mind, then go ahead. Huh? I can't hear you.
Bathroom?
Yes. Oh, Leo Sundri will take care of it, show you. Any questions? Darren, anything?
No.
You sure?
No. Gloria, I think, has a question.
Huh? You have a question, Gloria? Okay. All right, then... we're going to chant some more. You're here in time for chanting, so that's great. All right, then...
you RT while you're chanting, right?
Well, before you start that, I just want to say... Jai Parikara Sri Sri Guru Granga Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari Jula. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Garanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Shiva Bhakti Rakak Shira Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Gaur Hari Bol.